drop neatly into a round hole in the woodwork. It came up smoothly and turned out to be balanced on the cheerful skull of the Death of Rats. It winked one blue-glowing eye socket at Miss Susan. With quick little movements, not even looking down, she whisked the inkwell aside with one hand and reached for a thick volume of stories with the other. She brought it down so hard on the hole that blue-black ink splashed onto the cobbles. Then she raised the desk lid and peeped inside. There was, of course, nothing there, at least nothing macabre, unless you counted the piece of chocolate, half gnawed by rat teeth, and a note in heavy Gothic lettering saying, "See me," and signed by a very familiar Alpha and Omega symbol and the word "Grandfather." Susan picked up the note and screwed it into a ball, aware that she was trembling with rage. How dare he! And to send the rat, too! She tossed the ball into the waste paper basket. She never missed. Sometimes the basket moved in order to ensure that this was the case. "And now we'll go and see what the time is in Clatch," she told the watching children. On the desk, the book had fallen open at a certain page, and later on it would be story time. And Miss Susan would wonder too late why the book had been left on her desk when she had never even seen it before. And a splash of blue-black ink would stay on the cobbles of the square in Genoa until the evening rainstorm washed it away. Tick. The first words that are read by seekers of enlightenment in the secret, gong-banging, yeti-haunted valleys near the hub of the world are when they look into the life of when the eternally surprised. The first question they ask is, why was he eternally surprised? And they are told, when considered the nature of time and understood that the universe is, instant by instant, recreated anew, therefore, he understood, there is in truth no past, only a memory of the past. Blink your eyes, and the world you see next did not exist when you closed them. Therefore, he said, the only appropriate state of mind is surprise. The only appropriate state of the heart is joy. The sky you see now, you have never seen before. The perfect moment is now. Be glad of it. The first words read by the young Lutse when he sought perplexity in the dark, teeming, rain-soaked city of Ankh-Morpork were, rooms for rent very reasonable, and he was glad of it. Tick. Where there is suitable country for grain, people farm. They know the taste of good soil. They grow grain. Where there is good steel country, furnaces turn the sky to sunset red all night. The hammers never stop. They make steel. There is coal country and beef country and grass country. The world is full of countries where one thing shapes the land and the people. And up here in the high valleys around the hub of the world, where the snow is never far away, this is enlightenment country. Here are people who know that there is no steel, only the idea of steel. But they still use forks, or at least the idea of forks. There may, as the philosopher says, be no spoon, although this begs the question of why there is the idea of soup. They give names to new things and things that don't exist. They seek the essence of being and the nature of the soul. They make wisdom. Temples command every glacier-headed valley, where there are particles of ice in the wind even at the height of summer. There are the listening monks, seeking to discern within the hubbub of the world the faint echoes of the sounds that set the universe in motion. There are the Brothers of Cool, a reserved and secretive sect which believes that only through ultimate coolness can the universe be comprehended, and that black works with everything, and that chrome will never truly go out of style. In their vertiginous temple, criss-crossed with tightropes, the balancing monks test the tension